Welcome to Life North Church. We're glad you're here. If you're just joining us now, special welcome to you. If you're jumping on with the podcast or on YouTube, then we're so glad you're listening into this. I know God has something good for you. And we would love to connect with you and get to know a little bit more about you and let you know a little bit more about us. And so if you would take a moment right now, if you're in church online or Facebook or on YouTube Live, then let us know you're here. Drop a name in there. Click the link that says, hey, I'm new here to the church. Give us a little bit of information. And again, if you're dropping in a little bit later and watching this, then email us info@lifenorth.church, or you can click the links that are listed in the description because we would love to connect with you. Is there some way that we can serve you, come alongside you? Because that's what we're about as a church. And as we're getting ready to go into just a beautiful message, continuing our series about peace of mind, before we do that, we want to give you a chance to respond. And one of the ways that we respond in worship, if you're a follower already of Jesus Christ, is by giving generously. And this is an opportunity for you to do that now. And I want to say thank you to those of you that have been already doing that and giving so generously. It's because of what you're doing, it enables us to actually do this right now, to meet as a church, and to reach out and see lives transformed. And so thank you for what you've been doing. If that's something you've never done before, well, this could be your opportunity to try it for the first time. And you can click the link that's there in the chat, or you can drop by our website at lifenorth.church, and there's information there to make it easy for you to be able to contribute to what we're doing and really partner with us in the ministry that we have going on here. Well, we are in this series, Peace of Mind, and we could all use more peace of mind. We all have those times where we get anxious or we struggle, or we face difficult moments in life and we're not really sure what to do. We struggle sometimes with feeling depressed or really feeling like we're on our own and we're really lonely in life. And God has something better for you. And he wants to speak to you today about that through his church. And so we know that we all struggle with that. Even if you're a follower of Christ, doesn't matter. We all struggle with those moments when life gets really hard. But God has something to say to encourage us. And we have a church family that wants to encourage you as well. And so I hope you'll listen in as God wants to speak to you as we go into the next in our series, Peace of Mind.
Well, we're in a message series called Peace of Mind, and we're talking about something that is very, very important, occasionally ignored in churches, but we're going to go there, and we're talking about mental health. Now, if you've been with us in the past few weeks, we've actually talked about anxiety, we've talked about depression. Next week, we're going to bring the heat, so you better be ready. I think it may be my favorite message that we've covered. We're going to talk about chronic negativity, and we're coming right where a lot of people live, and what do we do about it according to God's word. And then we're going to go deep. We're going to talk about trauma, and tragically, so many people, so many good people, so many godly people have experienced so much hurt and so much abuse, and we're going to seek healing in God's word and in God's presence. And then we're going to talk about where many of you live right now, and that is just in this constant state of overwhelm. How do I handle all that I've going? I feel like I'm going to snap and burn out. Well, today we're going to talk about one of the biggest mental health problems in our culture that is so common, it's often overlooked and occasionally completely ignored. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, Americans have a bigger problem with this issue than any people in any country of the world. Now, I know we have a global audience at Church Online, but to my fellow Americans, the most affluent society in the world is the most worry-filled society in the world. So, Americans, congratulations, we win. We're the biggest worrywart people out there. And this is actually an incredible problem. In fact, according to Barna Research, if you can imagine this, about 60% of adults in the U.S. struggle with worry and stress daily. Daily. Over half of us, every single day, battle with some sense of worry and stress. And that's kind of freaky to me because that means a lot of you aren't paying attention right now. About half of you, your mind is drifting to whatever you're worried about. How's my kid doing in life, kids? I've got a test coming up this week. I've got a doctor's appointment. Your mind may be drifting even as we speak. Why is it? because of our sin nature, because we're born with a sin nature, we're actually defaulting to fear rather than defaulting to faith. Whenever we find something that we're unsettled with because of our sin nature, we're drawn to be afraid instead of putting our faith in God. And I can prove it to you because at 2 a.m. in the morning, if you ever find yourself awake, I guarantee you, you are not awake trying to figure out how to manage all your joy. How am I going to handle this overwhelming sense of peace at 2 a.m.? No, you're up worrying that your child has the wrong friends, or you got some kind of health concern for you or somebody you love, or you're worried about job stress or the economy or what somebody said about you or what somebody thinks about you, or you're worried about the big things, you know, terrorism and wars and racism and division and the price of eggs, the big things that are hitting us today. And we're going to talk about it and let God's word speak to it. Now, some people have asked, okay, didn't we talk about this? We talked about anxiety, and isn't worry the same as anxiety? And what I want to say to build a foundation for the message is that these two subjects are very, very related, and they do overlap. And as I've said from the beginning, I am not an expert and do not pretend to be, so I'm going to actually oversimplify this. I'm going to tell you I'm oversimplifying it. It's much more complex than this. But from a very simplified perspective, there is a difference, and I would say it this way, that we tend to experience worry in our minds. We worry in our minds, but we generally experience anxiety in our bodies. And there's a difference. What makes worry personal is anxiety is hard to describe. It's often general. Worry is specific. For example, you might worry, oh, I'm gonna miss my flight, I'm gonna miss my flight, I'm gonna miss my flight. That's specific. Anxiety is, I get freaked out traveling. And the reality is that most of us have very specific worries that plague us often. And so we're gonna go to God's word to speak directly to those worries today. I wonder how many of you are worried right now. You've got an ongoing weight, a burden, someone you love, something you care about, something that you want to change, but you can't figure out how to change. It's a never-ending weight, something that's always present with you. If you do, you're not alone. And today I want to talk to you about one of the biggest mental health problems facing our world today. And it's so big and it's so common that it's often overlooked or completely ignored. In fact, according to the World Health Organization, Americans have a bigger problem with this issue than any other people in the world. If you can imagine, the most affluent society in the world is actually the most worry-filled society in the world. So for those of you that are Americans, congratulations, we win. A thing that we'd rather not win at. But many of us battle this chronic, ongoing, we think it's natural, ever-present sense of worry that's poisoning our peace and killing our joy and stunting our spiritual growth. In fact, according to Barna research, about 60% of adults in the U.S. struggle with worry and stress daily. Over half. In fact, if you're in the normal percentages, that means about half of you right now may find yourself struggling to focus on this message because you've got some weight, some burden, some concern, somebody that you love, something that you want to change, and it's front of mind or always present, and we just live in a state of worry. Why is it that so many of us find ourselves battling with worry? I want to try to unpack it for you today and tell you at its core, it's because of our sin nature. Because we're born as sinners, we tend to default toward fear instead of defaulting toward faith. I can prove this to you. If you're awake some night at 2 a.m., I can almost promise you that you're not awake trying to figure out how to manage all the peace and joy in your life, right? If you're awake at 2 a.m., you're probably worried about your kids or some kind of health issue of you or somebody you love or job stress or how you're gonna take care of your parents in the years to come, or you're worried about the big things like terrorism and wars and racism and division and the price of eggs. Have you seen the price of eggs lately, right? We live in a culture where worry is almost just a commonly accepted part of life. Now, we're doing a message series on mental health, and we talked earlier about anxiety. And so you might say, now, Craig, why are we talking about worry when we've already talked about anxiety? Aren't they the same things? And what I want to say is they're actually related, but they're not the same. What's the difference between worry and anxiety? I want to talk about they overlap, and this is perhaps a little bit of an oversimplification, but I want to go ahead and make this distinction. Here's some differences. When we think about worry, we tend to experience worry in our minds. It's something where we over and over and over again, we rehearse the thoughts in our minds. Anxiety is different. We tend to experience worry in our minds, but we generally experience anxiety in our bodies. It's a little bit more holistic. Worry might be specific. Anxiety is more holistic. For example, you might worry that you're gonna miss a flight. I don't wanna miss a flight. Oh my gosh, we're gonna be late. But you feel anxious about traveling. I get so anxious when I travel. Worry is more specific. No matter what we call it, with all the problems in the world today, it feels like somebody needs to worry about them. But Jesus tells us that we don't have to. In fact, with him on the throne, we shouldn't worry. And what I want to do is I want to show you in Matthew chapter 6, the Matthew's gospel, I want to show you that multiple times Jesus tells us, do not worry. In fact, watch in the middle of this powerful and practical teaching on worry, that Jesus actually covers five of the biggest topics that most of us worry about. I want to show them to you on the back screen. Jesus shows us not to worry about these different things. He's going to say, hey, don't worry about your finances, your money. Don't freak out about food. Don't worry about your fitness or your health. Don't worry about fashion. Don't worry about future. Finances, food, fitness, fashion, and future. Bonus points for any preacher that makes points start with the same letter, just so you'll know. We work hard on that stuff. I hope you enjoy it. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 25. He says, therefore I tell you, let's say it aloud. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry. Those of you online, type that in the comment section. Do not worry. He says, therefore, do not worry. Now, anytime you see the word therefore in the Bible, I learned in seminary, you're supposed to ask, what's it there for? Anytime you see therefore, look before that verse, you'll understand the context. Right before Jesus says, do not worry, in the verse right before, he says in verse 24, you cannot serve both God and money, therefore I tell you, do not worry. What is he saying? Essentially, he's starting off saying, hey, don't worry so much about finances. You cannot love both God and money. So don't overly focus and overly obsess about money. And then he tells us in verse 25, again, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, there's food, or about your body, there's fitness, or about what you'll wear, there's fashion. Jesus said, don't worry about food. And when he said this to that particular crowd, they probably would have worried about food because they were poor. Like, where are they gonna eat? Many of us, we worry about food on a whole different level. We just worry about where we're gonna eat, and we fight about it, because I wanna eat here and you wanna eat there. And then we worry if we ate too much or we ate the wrong kind of food. And Jesus says, let's not obsess about that which is temporary, but let's focus on what's eternal. And don't worry about your body. Don't obsess about your health. Take care of yourself. But again, the body is temporary. We wanna also focus on our soul. He says, don't worry about what you're gonna wear. Oh my gosh. Don't worry so much about what people think about you and obsess about your image on social media before the big event. Do you like this outfit or do you like that outfit? Do you like these shoes or do you like those shoes? How do you like my hair? How do I look? I'd say to some of you, if you spend as much time thinking about God as you think about what you wear, oh, that might change the trajectory of your life. Jesus says, don't worry so much about those things that do not last. And then he says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Don't obsess about the future. Don't freak out about something you can't control, where you'll go to school. Are you gonna get the perfect job? Don't worry if a loved one's gonna get sick or just obsess about the fact that your hair might be getting thinner. Jesus says, don't worry. And then what I love about Jesus is he doesn't just tell us what to do, but he gets very practical and he shows us how not to worry. Because I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel compelled to worry about something that's heavy on my heart. He shows us how not to worry. Anybody want to know how not to worry? If you want to know online, just type in the comment section, I want to know, help me Jesus. I want to know, help me Jesus. Here's what he says. Here's how you don't worry. He says in verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus is showing us that God loves you way more than the birds. And the birds don't worry. The birds don't worry. Now, to be clear, if a bird's hungry, the bird will do something about it, right? And this illustrates a very important difference between concern and worry. What's the difference between concern and worry? Very important. Concern focuses on challenges and moves you to action. It focuses on what might be a problem and moves you to action. Like you might think, our marriage is struggling, and so you're concerned about it, and so you think, maybe we should get some counseling, or maybe we should be in a life group. Or you're concerned because, hey, I've gained 12 pounds, and so I better cut back on soft drinks or change what I'm eating. Concern focuses on challenges, and it moves you to action. Worry, though, worry focuses on what's beyond our control and results in inaction. It's stewing without doing. That's why Jesus perhaps asked the question, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? In other words, you worry, but has anything ever gotten better because of your worry? Has anything ever changed just because you sat there going, Jesus says, don't do it. It's not helpful. It doesn't change anything. When you worry, nothing gets better, but your mental health gets worse. Birds don't worry, but they don't sit around doing nothing either. They don't wait for God to drop food in their laps. Possibly because birds don't have laps, but that's a whole other point, right? What does a bird do? If a bird's hungry, it gets up, it flies around, tweet, 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 soar, 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 soar. Bird sees a worm, bird comes in and gets the worm, bird eats the worm, tweet, 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 bird flies around, bird builds a nest. End of the day, the bird goes to sleep. You'll never hear chirp, 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 chirp at 2 a.m. with the bird wide awake, pacing its little bird nest, rubbing its little bird's wings, asking himself, do you think the supply chain problem is gonna result in a shortage of worms? No! You don't say that because the bird knows that God's gonna provide for the bird. And God loves you more than the birds. If God's gonna take care of the birds, how much more is he gonna take care of you? So when we're worrying, essentially we're saying, God, I don't trust you. Whenever we're worrying, we're essentially saying, God, I don't trust your plan. I don't really believe you're with me. I don't really believe you're good. And if you think I'm judging you for a moment, I might have been awake at 2 a.m. last night, and I wasn't thinking about how to manage all my blessings. I'm vulnerable to it just like you. I've said for years, and I want you to think about how this might apply for you, that what you worry about the most reveals where you trust God the least. I want you to think about this. What you worry about the most often reveals where you trust God the least. And I want to give you a moment just to think about what that might be for you. What is it? Those of you online, you might even just have the courage to type it in the comment section. I'm worried about a relationship. I'm worried about my child. I'm worried about a marriage. I've got this thing on my body I'm worried about. I've got to go see the doctor. I'm worried about losing my job. I'm worried because the stock market's down. I've got some kind of personal insecurity. I feel like I'm just not going to be good enough. they're going to find out that I'm not that talented, that I'm not capable, I'm not ready. I don't have what it takes. What do we do when we realize that there's a real category of our life, a person, a relationship, a thing, an internal emotion that we're not trusting to God? What do we do with it? Like, how do we do? Okay, Jesus, don't worry. Birds are fine. What are we supposed to do? Like, here's my finance. Here's my future. Here's my family. I just trust you with it. What do we actually do when we find ourselves in this place? How are we supposed to trust God? It's a great question. And Jesus actually shows us what our role is. In Matthew 6:33, this is what scripture says. Jesus tells us, you want to know what you do? Here's your part. Jesus says, but seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Whenever you're worried, whenever you're freaked out, whenever you're panicked, whenever you don't know what to do, whenever there's too much to bear, what do? You seek first God's kingdom. You seek first his righteousness. You seek first his presence. You seek first his goodness. And then everything else will be added unto you. And so I would ask you this question: is God really first in your life? Is he first in your life? Is he first in your day? Like when you wake up in the morning, does your mind drift to all the things you have to do that day? Or does your mind drift toward the things of God, who he is? When you think about the financial pressures, do you tend to put him first in whatever he blesses you with? Or do you put him last if you consider him even at all? Where does your mind go when it drifts? Does it go to the worst possible case scenario? And here's what could happen. Oh my gosh, my child is late. They're probably dead on the side of the road. Or my child is late. They're probably late again, you know? Does your mind drift toward the goodness of God, the presence of God, his power, his love, his grace? Do you put God first in your relationships? Are they centered around him in every single way? Seek him first, seek him first, seek him first, seek him first. Some of you, you may just come to the realization that maybe the reason why I'm so often burdened and worried is because I'm not putting him first. I'm not putting him first. What we worry about the most might reveal where we trust God the least. And the good news is, what does this mean? It means there's an incredible opportunity for you to put your cares in the hands of God. He says, cast all of your anxiety on me because I care for you. Cry out your heart to him. When you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Take that burden to him. What's going to happen about what you're worried about? Whatever it is on your mind. What's gonna happen? I wanna show you very, very clearly three things, and one of these things will happen with the very thing that you're worried about. What you're worried about today, I wanna show you, number one, may never happen. The very thing that's keeping you awake, that's weighing on you so heavily, it may never, ever happen. In fact, there's a study done by researchers at Penn State that asked people to document what they were worried about and how many of their fears actually came to pass in the next 30 days. And according to their research, 91% of their worries did not come true. 91%, 9 out of 10 things they were worried about never ever happened. I want you to think about this, that very likely less than 10% of what you worry about will happen, but your worry will rob you of peace 100% of the time. Most of what you think about, worry about, is not gonna come to pass. But worry will rob you of peace and maybe even awareness of God's presence 100% of the time. So whatever it is that's on your mind, that burden, one thing, one option is, it's not gonna happen. The second thing is, it may happen and it won't be as bad as you thought. This is very, very common, right? You think it's gonna be horrible and then it happens, you go, oh, well, that wasn't so bad. I worried all and all about that thing and you didn't do great on the presentation and nobody really cared. You still got a job. You know, you asked around on a date and she said no And lo and behold, you didn't bleed out by her locker. You still live to ask another girl out on another day. You said something totally stupid, and everybody laughed at you. And a few of you like kind of liked you more on the other side because now you're kind of human. What you're worried about, what's weighing on you, it may never ever happen, or it may happen and not be as bad as you thought. Or number three, it may happen and God will carry you through it. It may actually happen, or may be even worse than what you thought. And you may experience the goodness and the presence and the provision and the peace of God in a way that you never ever imagined possible. This message series has been hitting home with many people, sadly, because so many people are hurting. And what I've found is that we often get to know God best when we need him most. And there may be some of you right now, you're carrying a burden that just seems too great to bear. This may be an opportunity to take that relationship, to take that care, to take that situation, to take that fear, to take that very thing you dread and take it to God. And know that he cares about you, that he's with you, that he's always good. And understand, what you're worried about may not even happen. It may happen, it may not be as bad as you thought, or it may happen and he'll provide for you in a way that you never imagined. And I received an email about the message that I did talking about people who feel hopeless and some consider taking their life. And I have permission to read this, but I'm gonna change the name just out of respect for the person. I'll call her Sherry, not her real name. This is a portion of her email, not all of it, but with permission to share, she wrote to me and said, "It's with tears in my eyes and a heart of overflowing thankfulness that I write to you." She described, "My husband of 29 years struggled his entire life with depression. As he studied to become a pastor, his heart was changed, and I believe that we were on a path to life without sorrow. But when our 13-year-old son died in an accident, my husband's depression returned with a vengeance and eventually weakened him to the point of taking his own life. I wondered in your sermon today how your words may have spoken to my husband. Your message of truth and encouragement fills me with hope for all those who've heard it. May God richly bless your every effort to reach those in the miry pit and those who are willing to get muddy and whom desire to help pull them out." And she signed it, "Jesus is enough, Sherry." Jesus is enough. I couldn't imagine a worse loss than losing a child, followed by losing your husband. And she writes and says, "I can't wait for this message to encourage someone else out of the darkness my husband was in. Jesus is enough." Sherry is a life group leader at one of our campuses, and she leads a life group to help people who are recovering from trauma. When she says Jesus is enough, she knows Jesus is enough. Whatever you're going through today, Jesus says, "Trust me. Don't worry. Don't freak out. Don't worry about what's gonna happen to your body. Worry about your soul. What do you do? It's a very complicated world with real burdens, real weight, real significant fears, real pain, real trauma. You seek him first. You seek him first. You call on Jesus. You press into Jesus. You love him. You cry out to him. You hurt with him. You might yell at him at times, and you go back to his word, and you let his spirit work in you. You let his spirit heal you. You let his spirit minister to you, and you put him first. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added unto you. What you fear the most often reveals where you trust God the least. Guess what? today is a day, an opportunity for you to take that burden, that care, that person, and trust it unto God and seek Him first. And no matter what you face, He will be with you. He will carry you. He will strengthen you. He will comfort you because He loves you and He is with you. And so God, today we ask for your presence, your power to do a work. Holy Spirit, help us to cast our cares upon you. Wherever you're watching from today, those of you that would say, yeah, I'm one of those that battle with worry. There's something that is on my mind, on my heart, and I wanna learn to put Jesus first in that area, to trust Him, to cast my cares upon Him. If you've got a burden like that today, this heavy, and by faith you wanna trust it to Jesus, would you just lift up your hand? You can, online, you can type it in the chat. I'm giving my burden to God, just whatever it is. You may even be specific online if you want to. I'm trusting God with my child. I'm trusting God with my future, whatever it is. You can just type it in there if you want. And God, we ask that in this moment, your peace that goes beyond our human ability to understand would guard our hearts and our minds as we take our burdens and our cares to you. We pray about everything, God, because you care about it. We put you first. And God, even for those that are gonna face something that could be just like Sherry, worse than they could imagine, God, we thank you that even in our heartbreaks, even in our deepest hurts, especially in our heartbreaks and our deepest hurts, you are still good, you're still present. God, help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in you. As you continue to pray today, all of our different churches and those of you that are online, some of you may just recognize that Jesus isn't really anywhere near first in your life. I grew up kind of going to church and knew about God, kind of knew the story of Jesus, but he wasn't first at all. I didn't know him. And I recognized that I'd done so many things that were wrong and felt so much guilt. How do we overcome that? How is it that we're made right with God? Well, scripture is so beautiful and powerful and personal that just tells us that God so loved the world, he loves you so much, that he sent his one and only son, he sent Jesus, who was perfect in every way, and he gave his life. The innocent one, the sinless one, gave his life so that we could be forgiven. And I want you to hear that and feel it. No matter what you've done, God loves you. Jesus is the perfect Son of God. And when we put him first, when we call on him, God hears our prayers and he forgives our sins. Whatever the weight is, whatever the burden is, whatever the shame is, the guilt from your past, when you call on Jesus, he hears your prayers and he forgives your sins. He separates them from as far as the east is from the west. You're forgiven, you're different, you're new. You're a new person. The old is gone and all becomes new. And the Holy Spirit moves into you and you can live a life that's pleasing to God. And even though it won't be perfect, his perfect presence is always with you. Wherever you're watching from today, those of you that say, I need that, he's not first, I wanna put him first. We're gonna step away from our sinfulness, we're gonna step away from our old life, and we're gonna say, Jesus, I give you my life. I wanna know you, I wanna serve you, I wanna follow you. Those of you today, wherever you're watching from, you say, I need it, I need his presence, I need his grace, I need his forgiveness. Today, I step away from my sinfulness and I give my life to Jesus. That's your prayer. Lift your hands high now, all over the place. Lift them up and say, yes, 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 yes. Thank God for people today saying yes to the grace of Jesus. Those of you online, just type it in the comment section. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. Just put it in your own words. I'm choosing to follow Jesus. And God, thank you for those coming to faith. Would you all pray together wherever you are? Just pray, Heavenly Father, I surrender and put you first. Jesus, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Be my friend. Fill me with your Spirit so I could trust in you and know you and serve you from now and onward. Thank you for new life. Take all of mine. In Jesus' name I pray. Could somebody thank God for his goodness, his presence, his power, and his grace?
If you just made a decision for the very first time to receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, we want to say congratulations. That is the greatest decision that you will ever make. And we want to celebrate with you. We want to congratulate you. It is so good what you've done. And we want to support you and help you move forward as you go forward in this journey. Because really, this is just taking a first step, or maybe a next step for you as you move forward in this journey with Christ. And so let us know that you made that choice. Let us know that you made that decision today. You can click the links that's there. You can email us info@lifenorth.church. You can drop by our hub at our website and just pass that information along so that we can encourage you, and that if there's some way we can support you, come alongside you, encourage you, walk with you through that process, that's what we want to do. Because really, God said he wanted his church to gather together, to be unified, and to be serving and supporting each other. And that's what we want to do. If you're here today and you've already made that decision, but maybe you've been challenged about taking a step, about doing something in your life, connecting with God in a new way, reaching out in a new way, whatever that would be, let me encourage you to do that. Follow through on it. Don't just let it slide away. What has been shared today in the message is so good. And what God is saying in his word really speaks to the heart of who we are and how we can find peace of mind. And I want that for you just as much as you want it for yourself. So as we take this time now to kind of shift to the end of our service, stick around. There's people to chat with if you want to do that. Catch up on other messages if you missed out on them. Check out others on our YouTube channel, or even just catch more podcasts. Whatever that would be, we are so glad you're here, and we hope you'll come back and join us next week. And we do all this because we know whoever finds God finds life.
I have a vision for a church that loves others more than we've been loved, who serve others more than we have been served, that gives more than we have received. People so overwhelmed with the love of God that we love and accept people right where they are, but we love and point them to a Jesus who will make them new. When we come together, we are the local church, and we believe that the local church is the hope of the world.